Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Kings chapter 24. So we're jumping in the middle of context. We're here in his days. The his there is Jehoiakim of verse 36 of the previous chapter. So 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained unto the king of Egypt. And Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all the princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So you see how quickly then the nation is spiraling to its destruction because they have forsaken the Lord their God. In the first section, verses 1 through 7, we have the reign of Jehoiakim. Note his rebellion against the word of the Lord, who sent Jeremiah the prophet in his days to tell him how he might behave himself in these circumstances. So this judgment was from the Lord, and Judah was to submit to the king of Babylon Because they did not, and because Jehoiakim rebelled, the Lord not only sent Babylon, but he sent Syria, and he sent Moab, and he sent Ammon against them. Finally, then, Jehoiakim died and was buried, and the next king, Jehoiakim, and he comes to authority in verse 6. So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiakim reigns for 3 years, but there's something about Jehoiakim that I want you to take note of that is not particularly detailed here in 2 Kings, but we'll read more about it when we get to 2 Chronicles. And that is that Jehoiakim does that which Jeremiah the prophet had commanded. Unlike his predecessor and unlike his successor, when Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged the city, what did he do? He went out of the city to the king of Babylon according to the command of Jeremiah. He reigned only 3 years. He probably held out as long as he felt like he could, but then what did he do? He went out. He surrendered according to the word of Jeremiah. You remember what Jeremiah said. This destruction is from the Lord. Go to Babylon. Be carried away there. Buy and sell. Pray for the peace of that city. Marry. Give in marriage. Have children. Don't intermarry, obviously. But still, go ahead and prosper. And the Lord will bring you back in his due time. Of course, we know that was 70 years. And so Jehoiakim did go out to the king of Babylon. He took him, his wife, some of his nobles and princes with him. And they were carried away to Babylon. And we'll read a little bit later about Jehoiakim. What happened to him? Well, he was imprisoned in Babylon for a while. But then after Nebuchadnezzar, his son arose and brought Jehoiakim to his table and fed him at his table in Babylon for the rest of his days. And so notice that there was a blessing that the Lord had given to the obedience of Jehoiakim. Well, Jehoiakim then goes out and Nebuchadnezzar sets up a king in his stead named Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was one of the most wicked of the last kings. And the reason he was one of the most wicked is because he often, and you won't get this really unless you read the Chronicles and Jeremiah version of the fall of Jerusalem. And then you find that from time to time, what did Zedekiah do? He would go secretly to Jeremiah and he would say, what is the word of the Lord? What do I need to be doing here, Jeremiah? Tell me from the mouth of the Lord, what do I need to do? Jeremiah would tell him and he'd say, okay, thanks very much. And he'd go and do the other thing entirely. He never hearkened to the Lord, even though the Lord had sent a prophet of the stature of Jeremiah to him. And so we find out that Zedekiah in the next chapter suffers, well, he suffers mightily. A man that was given so much light and understanding, and yet he turned away from the Lord. There's one more thing that I want you to see here, and that is that the Lord is making it clear that this destruction is from him. And so note the strategy that Nebuchadnezzar takes when he invades and besieges and then finally overthrows and is able to breach and to take the city. Notice what he does. He takes all of the mighty men, he takes all of the craftsmen, all of the artisans, all of the men that could work in any kind of implement that could in one sense or other be turned into either an implement of war or even into a profitable trade. This is indicative that the Lord was bringing this dire judgment upon the people. Nebuchadnezzar not only took away their government, but he took away their ability to rebel. And so no longer could you hear in Jerusalem, in the cities around Jerusalem, the hammer of the smith. No longer would you hear troops training. They had no army. They had no artisans. They had no tradesmen. All of the wise were taken away as well, such that only the poorest and most defenseless of the land were left. This was indeed of the design of the Lord. And we read of the sacking of Jerusalem in the first instance and in the second in 70 AD. that both of those were terrible, terrible judgments that the Lord wrought upon a people that had essentially turned away from Him. When we come to the New Testament, we find, by way of use, the same thing. What does the Lord say to the churches in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, those that are sinning, the five out of the seven? What does He say to them? I have a few things against you. Now, repent and turn from that, or I will fight against you. I will take away your candlestick. I will make you no more a church. And so the kind of faithfulness that we're looking for, that we look for here with ancient Israel, that they would call upon the Lord their God and turn away from the religions of the land, is a call that comes to us as well as the people of God in our day. And the gospel threatenings that come to the church today are indeed to be feared. And they are indeed to motivate us to be faithful to the Lord and to His Word. The judgments came upon the people that were notoriously the people of God because they turned away from Him. Let us not turn away from Him, but toward Him, and pray that He would, in His mercy, turn toward us. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Kings chapter 24. We have one more chapter in 2 Kings, and then we begin 1 and 2 Chronicles, Lord willing, next week.